Yes, okay, Clive. Well, so to start with, virtually all policies cover your car if it's stolen. And they nearly always cover your belongings if they're left in the car. But there's a couple of things to be aware of where the benefit actually isn't as brilliant as it sort of first comes across. The first thing is that anything covered in your car's normally only got like a low sum insured or limit for it. So the average is about £300. So it ranges between 100 and 1,000, which basically means that if an item is stolen out of your car, particularly if it's valuable, you probably won't get much money out of it. And then the other point that you need to consider is that most car policies also have a policy excess, so the first amount of any claim you must pay. And in more recent times, people have tended to up those excesses in order to make their premiums more affordable. So the problem with having things stolen out of your car is you can be left with actually quite a small amount of money if your item's stolen. Most policies will cover virtually all items, but not all of them cover digital equipment, phones and computers, laptops, etc. So it's worth looking at your policy to see what that says to make sure that you make sure you're covered.
And does it matter what you've done? I mean, for example, I was always being told, don't leave something open in the car. Don't leave your bag on the seat or something like that. Make sure it's all hidden. Does that sort of thing matter?
Yes, absolutely. So, first of all, you won't get any claim paid at all, even if you, and including if your car's stolen, if you leave your vehicle unlocked. But then there's also usually language in the policy which says you shouldn't have items on sort of visible display. So, the way that's normally expressed is items need to be in the glove box or in the boot so they're out of sight. And then normally, if that happens, they're covered. But it's there's a number of issues around theft generally to do with vehicles. So not only in terms of belongings, but the car themselves. So probably worth just going through a couple of points on that. So theft is a defined risk, if you like, and there's been quite a lot of controversy in recent years about whether deception is covered, and very often it isn't. So if your car is stolen off the driveway at night, that's a theft and you'd be covered. But if you try and sell your car and somebody turns up and persuades you to give them, to give them your keys and they drive off with your car, that's not necessarily a theft, it's a deception,
Really?
and some insurers don't cover that. Yeah, in
Oh,
fact, I
that
just.
I know somebody who had that happen with a motorbike because you can't really go for a test drive with two people, and they did literally just drive off with a bike. So
Yeah, I
that is
mean,
yeah, that's a difference.
it's a
Doesn't.
problem, and in fact, I had a case just recently that I worked on of a person that was trying to sell quite an expensive Mercedes. He had somebody round to look at it. They went out in it, and he said, "Okay, that's fine, but I'm coming with you." So they drove out, and the person drove the car. And when they came back home, they said, "Well, think about it overnight." And they gave him the key back, but the key they gave him back was a fake key, and they
Oh
stole his real
no.
one and came back and stole the car that night. So luckily, there was an argument with the insurer about whether that was a deception in terms of giving the key over or whether it was a theft. But we managed to win in the end. And the other big problem that comes on, particularly motor covering the car itself, is people leaving keys in cars. And that's not, not people just leaving a key in and then going to work for the day. It happens quite a lot in people's driveways. So if you leave your keys in the car and a thief comes up the drive and pinches your car, you have to be able to show that you took sort of steps to try and keep the vehicle under observation, that you weren't too far away from it and that you didn't spend too long a time away from it. Otherwise, the keys in car exclusion will bite
Yeah,
and you won't get paid out
well,
at all.
I can
So,
understand that. I mean, it's pretty stupid to
yeah.
leave your keys in your car, isn't it? I
Well,
would
you
say.
say that. See, I mean, I say that. I've not done it myself, but I did have some building work done at my house a couple of years ago, and the builder left his keys in the van on my driveway. And he was up on the roof, so only 15, 20 feet away. Somebody came up as a fake guy delivering stuff, got in and pinched the car, and it was right in sight. So you know, these things can happen, these, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what about the other thing I think of with stolen possessions is when you're travelling, and I'm never quite sure what is covered and what isn't, even if it's your bag being lost or maybe you your mobile phone, but you're on holiday somewhere. Do you get covered by normal travel insurance?
Yeah, well, increasingly, again, as pressure has come on premiums, people buy based on price, particularly in the online world. It's become quite common now to have baggage as an add-on. So typically you just pay another £5 to get your baggage covered. And, you know, so if you, that's the first thing to look out for. And then secondly, you need to be quite careful about what you're taking away, because typically the limits in those policies, again, can be quite low, between sort of £1,000 and £5,000, which sounds quite a lot. But if you're taking on, you know, a laptop, that's £1,000 straight away very often. So you need to be careful of that. Most of the problems, it's not too difficult to work out whether you're actually covered by for your belongings whilst you're overseas or on holiday. Most of the problems come with, again, a bit like the keys thing, where you leave things unattended. So, you know, you're on holiday, go to the bar, leave your phone by the table by the pool, and when you come back, it's gone. So you have to be quite careful, and the test is quite similar. You've got to keep it close to you under observation and, you know, not let it too far out of your sight. And then I guess the other thing is that most travel policies also have a sub-limit or a lower limit, especially for digital items, mobile phones and jewelry and things. So just got to be wary of that when you're, you know, kind of doing your packing, as it
yeah,
were.
Yeah. And what about your home insurance policy? Does that cover you for things, and even if it's in your car or you're on holiday or something, or, yeah, that's or just
a,
at home?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, generally speaking, your contents and your personal effects, so, you know, including things that are in your house, your clothes, your jewellery, your computers, etc., are covered, certainly while they're in the home. But very often, if they're put, if you can sort of sensibly remove them from your home, they're normally covered throughout the UK. Most policies don't, only the better ones, would cover you taking your belongings overseas internationally. So you need to watch out with that if you're travelling. And the couple of other things to watch out with, really, on home insurance is that quite often in policies, thefts out of vehicles are excluded for the very reason that you're normally covered, albeit for a limited amount under your car insurance. So watch out for that. And then the other thing you need to watch out for, which arises a lot in home insurance, is the concept of underinsurance. So if you don't buy a policy with and have a sum insured that's an accurate reflection of all of the items you own, your insurer can mark your claim down. So just to put that into context, if, for example, I had £100,000 worth of contents, but I only insured them for £50,000, the policy, the home policy, would normally say in that situation, if you lose £100, the insurer only has to pay you 50. In other words, half of what you actually lost, because you only insured for 50, and that issue comes up quite a lot.
And when they do, I've thought about that, and I mean, honestly, I don't think I've got anything particularly valuable, to be honest. But if when you're adding it all up, does that include things like your carpets and your curtains and furniture and things, or is it just belongings?
Well, it's contents is normally one category, and then you have things like personal effects, which is typically jewellery or tech related stuff. But to answer the question, you have to include everything, particularly in the contents. And the differential between the two is really if something can be easily removed from the property when you move, then it's regarded as contents. If it's sort of fixed to the building, then not. I mean, I had a case a couple of years ago where an insurer tried to argue that a fireplace was contents, and it's like, well, I'm going to take that out and take it with me. But yes, so it was quite an expensive one. So you do have to watch out for that. And I suppose the last thing really on home insurance, which is more to do with theft in your house, is that pretty exclusively all policies now have a window locks condition, which says that if you go out, you've got window locks, you have to have them locked or you won't be covered. A useful get out on that, though, for anyone that might have a problem, is that the financial ombudsman say that in order to rely on that, the insurer must show that the window in or the door in that's relevant, that was unlocked, had to have some bearing on the claim. So if you left a window unlocked and the thief came through your front door, that wouldn't matter. Your claim should still be paid.
So if I've got like little quarter light type windows, which I don't usually bother to lock because nobody could get in, you couldn't climb through and you couldn't even use them to open another window. So that wouldn't need locking, would it? Well, I'm sure an insurer might argue it.
Well, that's right. An insurer will probably argue that it would, but the point that to bear in mind is that, you know, would that have a bearing in the loss? So generally speaking, you know, if people are going to come in, they'll just sort of smash through the window. So a quarter light wouldn't matter. I mean, I did a claim a few months ago where a guy turned up, and only they smashed the windows in, they turned up with oxyacetylene to cut the guy's safe out of his floor. So, you know, they usually make a pretty brazen entry. But it's the problem normally arises on things like French doors that can be locked, and front doors. But you know, it has to be connected to the claim.
So, give us a few pointers then to what we should be doing actively to make sure we're covered.
Okay, well, I guess I said the centre of gravity in these things, or the big planet, I suppose, for insurance is usually your home insurance, because that will cover virtually everything, and the likelihood is it will cover it. Certainly throughout the UK, but sometimes you've got the car's exclusion, but that's probably your sensible first port of call, particularly for something valuable. If you haven't got any coverage within vehicles within your home insurance, then obviously look at your motor insurance, but the amounts will be quite limited, and also your travel insurance if you're going overseas. But just be aware of the unattended type of exclusions in them, because sometimes that can cause people a bit of a problem. And then I suppose a number of practical things, you know, it's not only about is your item stolen, it's can you trace it? A lot of items that are stolen are actually never returned because you can't figure out who the owner is. So if you can mark anything, watermark it or put a tag or whatever you can on it, that would be helpful. My neighbour recently had his lawnmower, put his postcode put on his lawnmower. So if it's ever pinched, he could get it back, which I thought was quite a good thing. Other things to do is, particularly if you're travelling, under a travel policy, is take pictures of everything. So take pictures of and keep receipts so you can show what you've got. And the other thing I do, which my wife thinks I'm mad for doing, but it sort of makes sense, is that if you've got all your luggage packed when your case is open, just take a quick photo of it all packed so that you can see what's in there, how many pairs of shoes you've got, where your camera was. And usefully that picture, although it's not bulletproof evidence that that's what you took on holiday, the picture, if it's done on a camera, will be metadated, so you have the date on it. So it's quite good evidence.
Yeah.
And then generally, you know, just be sensible. Don't leave items out of sight or unattended. And if you've got valuable tech, rather than trying to think, I've got three potential policies, but all of them or none of them might cover it, it's probably worth considering buying a standalone tech policy. And there are quite a few of those on the market, which will cover you quite broadly, you know, if your tech is stolen or damaged.